Size Content Marketing Show, bringing you training, insights, and tools to help turn your size company into a real user magnet with targeted content strategies. Hey everyone, welcome to the episode number 16 of the Size Content Marketing Show, the podcast for size founders, CEOs, and marketers who want to start using content to acquire more users. My name is Pavel Grabowski. I'm the founder of usermagnet.io, a content marketing agency for B2B SaaS companies. And twice a month, I'm interviewing SaaS founders and marketers about unique content strategies they're using to grow their businesses. And in this episode, I'm talking with Tim Solo from ahrefs.com about finding the right keywords for your content. Because you see, there are many channels you could use to drive traffic to your content, social media, email, etc. But SEO beats them all. And I know growing organic traffic takes a lot of time and effort, but let's face it, once you get to the point where your posts rank well enough, you start reaping huge rewards. You basically constantly get more and more relevant traffic. And the whole process begins with keyword research, with identifying phrases your audience would use when looking for information or advice you included in your content. And that's what we're talking about with Tim. And I have to say, Tim shared some incredible advice in this show, stuff you really don't hear or see anywhere else. And I've learned a ton from our conversation, and I'm sure you will too. So if you're wondering how to do keyword research for your next blog post, infographic, or any other content type, well, this show is definitely for you. And as always, you can find detailed show notes for this episode on our site at usermagnet.io/episode16, and that's a digit 16. And without any further ado, here's the interview.
Hey, Tim, it's great to have you with us. How's things?
I'm great. Thanks for inviting me.
Awesome. Listen, I'm really delighted to have you over. So listen, we're going to be chatting about keyword research, and the aim is to show our listeners how they could identify the best keywords or phrases that would offer them opportunity for reaching the audience through search and getting their content high in the search results. But before we get to that, could you tell us more about yourself and give us the story of Tim, if you will?
I was born in Ukraine, and here's where my accent is coming from. I worked in SEO for quite a while. I think right now it's about 8 years.
Awesome.
And 2 years ago, I got hired as head of marketing at Ahrefs, mm-hmm. Which we're going to be talking a lot
exactly.
about today. So today, since the headquarters of Ahrefs are in Singapore, today I live in Singapore, and this is where we operate. And I'm not a big fan of talking about myself, so okay, let's get to the meat of the content.
Okay, fair enough. Listen, so, but still, before we get to discussing content, I want to talk about something I believe is really a foundation of keyword research, and that's understanding how users actually search for information, and especially how this has changed in the last couple of years, because it has, right? We use Google differently than we had 5 years ago or even 3 years ago. And then Google obviously works differently as well. It has the rank brain and uses machine learning, etc. And this has a huge effect on the way users find content today, right? So can you tell us? Can you tell us about this? How do we actually search for information today? How do we use Google?
Yeah, so basically, in the old days, not everyone had computers. So these were basically geeks. Mm-hmm. The Google itself was a pretty basic algorithm. Mm-hmm. So it was basically to get some nice results from Google, we had to search in a way that Google would understand. And so basically you were trying to search like a robot would do. So you would just put some keywords like ice cream, tasty, London, something mm-hmm. like this. Yeah, right now, of course, as more and more people get online mm-hmm. And they are not technical in any way, they have these mobile phones, iPads and all that stuff. So they search in any way that is comfortable for them, that is convenient for them. So they would search, where do I buy the best ice cream in London?
Mm-hmm.
So basically they ask a question to Google, like they would ask a question to their friend, and their expectation is that Google should understand what they're asking for and give them a good answer. And basically what this causes is that just a few years ago, as people were searching in quite predictable ways,
mm-hmm.
The amount of search, there were less unique searches, mm-hmm. so everyone was searching kind of in the more or less same way. And today, people search in all sorts of peculiar ways, so they have a thousand ways to ask pretty much the same question to Google,
mm-hmm.
and Google basically has to understand that question and map it to a single specific page. So basically right now we are talking about the so-called long tail of search demand,
mm-hmm.
where people search for the same thing in very unpopular keywords and very unpopular ways. So yeah, and I believe with all the new technology like Google Voice Search and the like, the amount of these unique searches that are not like popular will increase. And Google will have to improve their algorithms to figure out what the hell people are asking it and what content should be at the top of their search results.
Exactly. And that makes it, like, the whole keyword research quite challenging, doesn't it? Because, like you said, 5 years ago, if you positioned your site for Ice Cream London or, you know, good Ice Cream London, that's pretty much it. You knew that that's what people are going to use to find you, right? Whereas today, it could be anything, right?
Exactly.
So and that's where the challenge with keyword research and that's one of the reasons why we're talking today, because the keyword research is getting more and more difficult. You can't really predict how or you can't predict that easily how your users are going to ask the question you're answering in your content. So yeah, absolutely, it's challenging. One thing's worth to note, I don't know if you agree with me, but I find Google to be getting really better and better at dealing with this. Like, you can throw throw scraps of information at them without actually, like, stuff that may not even make sense when you read it, but it will actually analyze it and quite often it will deliver the information you're looking for, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because that's the primary objective that guys at Google have. They are trying to build a kind of artificial intelligence that would understand what people are asking for the way like humans do. So yeah. They like build all these language processing algorithms. They have the entire web at their disposal, so they kind of try to teach the machine to read it and to understand it.
Yeah,
and I think in the next, 10 years or 20 years, something huge is going to happen with all the technology.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Actually, when you think of it. But listen. We know that users pretty much search for information in their most natural way, right? So they, as you say, they ask questions. They don't type in keywords, which like keywords in the sense of the how we used to understand the term, as in concepts, Ice Cream London or running shoes, etc. Now it could be anything, right? So anything that comes to their mind, that's what I mean, like in relation to information they're looking for. So let's dive into keywords now, because there are different types of keywords. Obviously, even the question we ask Google, it's still a keyword or a key phrase. Maybe that's a better way to describe it. So could you tell us about those different types of keywords and key phrases and particularly how they relate to different stages of the buying cycle, what sort of phrases people in the awareness stage would use, which is really the stage you target with content or with the top of the funnel content and so on. Yeah. Could you talk to us about that?
Actually, to be honest, the buyer's journey or sales cycle or whatever you call it is a kind of a slippery road.
Okay.
Because one could argue that with an informational keyword, mm-hmm. like, for example, keyword research tools, mm-hmm. It should be an informational keyword, right? Because mm-hmm. you're basically seeking for information.
Yeah.
But I can write the kind of article about keyword research tools that will persuade you to become our customer right away.
Wow, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, so basically we even published an article at Ahrefs' blog that was titled something like Why Buyer's Journey is a Unicorns and Rainbows Strategy. Yeah, of course, to every rule there's an exception. So, of course, there are some clearly informational terms mm-hmm. where you know that people are not in the buying mode. I think there's some framework of kind of problem aware, solution aware, or like problem unaware. It starts from problem unaware, then problem aware, then mm-hmm. solution aware, something like this. And to each stage, you have the kind of search queries that tell you that a person, for example, he sees that his floor is getting dirty, but he doesn't understand why. So this is kind of problem unaware, mm-hmm. And he would kind of search for why my floor is getting dirty. Mm-hmm. Then he would discover that he uses the kind of wrong washing liquid. So there's some better one, and he would be kind of a problem aware that problem is the washing liquid. Mm-hmm. And then solution aware is some kind of specific washing liquid that has some specific ingredients. And at that stage, he would be basically picking between different brands that produce this liquid. Well, this is a super made up example, but mm-hmm. I think it maps to the kind of buyer's journey principle.
Yeah.
But like I said, to every rule, there's an exception. And if you're good in copywriting, if you're good in producing great content, there's a chance that any search query can be easily translated into an instant sale.
No, absolutely. That makes sense. But it also shows that really, like at least this example, to me, it kind of suggests that when you're looking for keywords, you're really starting with the problem, right? Like this is the solution unaware. So because one thing that strikes me is most of the keywords, you know, we've been talking for a couple of minutes and we've been giving some examples, and they are actually long keywords. You know, we never actually talk about something short, like, you know, I don't know, dirty carpet or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like. So would you then, so what would you, do you think, like, you know, short tail keywords are pretty much gone at this stage? Do you think our standard mode of operation is to literally ask a question and or describe the problem we have rather than try to come up with, you know, two word phrase that could potentially help us find the information we're looking for?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you've seen this research that we have recently published on Ahrefs' blog. Mm-hmm. So basically, we have this huge database of search queries across all countries, and okay. that would be around 4 billion keywords in our wow. database, which is the biggest in the industry as far as I know. Wow. And out of these 4 billions, 1.4 billion belong to United States.
Uh-huh.
So we did a research of this database. We tried to slice it in all sorts of ways mm-hmm. To see how people search.
Yeah.
And to answer your question about the short keywords, I don't remember the exact numbers. People can just go to the blog.
We'll link to the blog from yeah. the show notes. So yeah.
So basically, I think there were no more than 3% of keywords that contain only one word in them.
Wow, you see this?
Yeah, 97% of all keywords have 2+ words.
Wow.
And I think over 70% have like 4+ words or something like this. So wow. the vast majority of searches in Google have a lot of words in them. And one other very cool takeaway from this study, and I highly suggest people to read it if they're interested in keyword research, is that popularity of a keyword, kind of the search demand, the search volume of how many times people enter this keyword into Google per month, it is correlated, of course, with the length of the keyword. So shorter keywords tend to be more popular, and longer keywords tend to be less popular, have less search demand. But there are quite a few one-word keywords that have like super miserable search volume, like less than 10 searches per month. Wow. And there are quite a few like 5+ word keywords that have like 500,000 plus searches.
Wow, this is amazing. Actually, honestly, I didn't see that report. I'm definitely going to check it out. But yeah, it's kind of shocking, you know?
I can give you one easy example of a long-term keyword that has a huge search traffic. That would be Star Wars Rogue One.
Yeah.
So basically, there are quite a few words in that keyword, and the search demand is super high because, like, it's a popular movie, and people just keep searching for it. So this is just one of the examples of a long keyword that has a big demand.
But that's amazing.
And one thing I just remembered about, again, getting back to the buyer's journey. The one way to look at it is the framework that I have described, like problem aware, solution aware, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the other way is to kind of see how broad is your niche. Because, for example, I was researching the keywords that HubSpot blog is targeting with their content.
Okay.
I'm sure many people know about HubSpot. This is a huge company. They have like tons of money invested, and they think they did an IPO and stuff. They have like a couple thousand people, so tons of resources. And so one of their most popular articles is something, how to make a GIF image. So basically creating a GIF or a GIF, or what's the right way to say it. So basically article teaching people how to make a GIF image. And this article, it gets them like over 100,000 visitors per month from one article.
Wow.
So this is how many people want to learn how to make a GIF image. Now, the next question is, how hard would it be to convert a person who is looking to make a GIF image into a user of HubSpot marketing platform?
Yeah,
I'm sure it was super hard. But then if you consider the search volume, if you consider that they get 100,000 people into that funnel, so basically they could try give them some ebook on creating like awesome images for your website or something like this, and then send some other like learning materials, and step by step they will convert them to like signing up for HubSpot marketing software.
Yeah.
But still, this is the kind of keyword that doesn't have like any buying intent at all.
Yeah.
But because it's somehow related to the industry of like building websites, creating content, creating images, you have some potential of converting like a small percent of these people into customers. So this is another way to look at the keywords, not just by the buying cycle, but kind of proximity to your micro niche when looking at the like bigger picture.
That, I love that. This is amazing. I'm actually sitting here taking notes. I totally agree. I could see, like, you know, you could even if you didn't have an ebook for posts like that, you could try to, you know, push these people to another piece of content that's more closer to your product, and then closer, and eventually, you know, so almost like start qualifying these users. You know, if somebody actually goes to that next post, they're almost pre-qualify themselves as interested in this area, this topic, and so on. And eventually, you know, hit them up with an ebook or a content upgrade or whatever, get them on a list. But by then, you know that the chances of converting them are much, much higher. So, okay, so listen, let's talk about the process of finding those keywords, you know, because we so far we established it's not easy. We established that that users or customers, you know, search for information the way they want it, and they no longer use any form of systematic process like they used to.
Yeah.
So, you know, they just describe the process the way they see it. The problem, describe the problem the way they see it. But at the same time, our job is really to find out what's going to be the, you know, the closest phrase that they could use or the most relevant, and you know, use it in the content, optimize the content for it, and almost then hope that Google's going to make the connection between this and any other way people describe the same problem. So let's do that. How could you walk us through the process of finding keywords, of deciding, okay, I'm writing article about X, and this is the main keyword I'm going to optimize for, or try to optimize, or at least, you know, use, have in mind when I'm working on the content.
Okay, this is an amazing question, and it requires an amazing answer, and I'm afraid I won't be able to give it in like 5 or 10 minutes. So actually, like we discussed before with you, I have just like literally, I think 20 minutes ago, hit publish on an article about keyword research,
okay,
where I tried to do a breakdown of like kind of overall framework of how to research your keywords, how to prioritize them, how to group them, what metrics to look at, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone is interested to dive into it like in detail, I highly suggest to check out this article.
Yeah, but well, I'm gonna link to it just for listeners. I'm gonna link it in the show notes, so you know you can go there, go to our website and check it out. Cool.
Yeah, thank you. But I will try to give a few like takeaways from that article, so mm-hmm. that people know what expects them there. So one of the greatest ways to do keyword research and to identify keywords/topics that will bring you a ton of customers, and these customers would be targeted, is of course research your competitors. This is something that basically we just discussed. Because my example was basically born because I was researching what one of our not very direct but still competitors is ranking for. I was looking at HubSpot blog, mm-hmm. and I was researching which pages bring them the most traffic, and this is where this how to make a GIF image mm-hmm. article came from, that generates a ton of traffic for them. So the next question is, would I pick that article for Ahrefs? I probably won't, because I don't have the resources that HubSpot has, and mm-hmm. I don't have an opportunity to create all that funnel like we just discussed, because it takes quite an effort to convert a person who is coming for such a non-relevant keyword into our customer. So I would probably dive deeper, and for example, one of their other articles that ranks pretty well and brings them also some nice traffic is, I think, how to write a blog or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, again, at Ahrefs we have a free 14-day trial, so people can just sign up and do the same thing that I did and research the pages of their competitors that bring them the most traffic. But here's something important. I'm mm-hmm. talking about researching the pages of my competitors other than researching their keywords, because a single page, like mm-hmm. we just discussed, will rank for hundreds, if not thousands, of different keywords. So mm-hmm. basically, when you look at the report with the keywords that your competitors are ranking for, you don't know like how they are mapped to pages. This is why we
have
top pages where the same information is grouped by page. So basically, the keyword might be not very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So by looking at the search volume of one single specific keyword, hello?
Yeah, we've broken up for a second, but we're back now.
Yeah, okay. So the single keyword might not have a big search volume,
mm-hmm.
But because people have all sorts of ways to ask that same question, and probably because they don't even know how to correctly ask that question, but there's a huge search demand for it, you'll see that a page on your competitor website is generating tons of traffic.
Uh-huh.
So this is the first like go-to strategy of doing keyword research, is just plugging your competitors into Ahrefs or To be honest, there are a few more tools that do the same, but with their own data. Mm-hmm. For example, SEMrush is one other tool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just plug the websites of your competitors into Ahrefs and see their best pages and replicate their best pages. And you won't have to worry about like how much traffic this keyword will bring me, because you all you have to do is reverse engineer what they already done. You have to look at their page, mm-hmm. See what kind of content they have, what topics have they covered on their page. Again, because Ahrefs has like best in the industry backlink database, mm-hmm. you can also see who links to that page, so that you could understand like what would it take to get the same rankings and therefore the same search traffic as they do. Mm-hmm. And basically, you're not guessing. You're looking at what works, and you're trying to take it a step further. You're trying to make it better than them. Because one other interesting takeaway from that keyword research post that I was talking about, the best keywords are not necessarily the easiest to rank for. Mm-hmm. Because you might find some keyword that will bring you a ton of traffic, and it's easy to rank for. But like we just discussed, it won't bring you any customers.
Yes.
So why would you waste your effort there? On the other hand, there might be a keyword that is insanely hard to rank for. But if you put a lot of your effort, a lot of your money, a lot of your resources into that keyword, it will totally change your business. Like one article, if you rank for one article that is highly specific to what you do and the article is brilliant and it ranks number one in Google, that could be it for your business. You get a like constant stream of customers.
Absolutely, yeah. I love this. I love the common sense approach of this. You know, instead of guessing, as you said, instead of guessing, just go to your competitors, see what drives their business, target roughly the same topic, not keyword, and you're immediately target, you know, providing you did a great job, of course, with the content.
Yeah.
You immediately target practically the same, and you, as you said, hundreds, maybe even thousands of keywords and key phrases that they target, you know,
yeah.
without actually having to physically go and find every single one of those keywords. I love it. This is great. It's makes
yeah,
so much
and
sense.
there's even kind of part two
oh,
of
wow.
this strategy.
Cool,
because
sure.
Everyone understands that you kind of can look at the pages of your competitors, plug them into a tool like Ahrefs, and see how much traffic they're mm-hmm. getting. Mm-hmm. But what most people don't understand is that they can do the same with the top search results for any keyword.
Oh. Wow.
Let me explain what I mean. Let's take a keyword. I'm using it right now everywhere. The keyword is I'm sorry flowers. So okay. The keyword I'm sorry flowers, it has like quite a low search volume. It's about 300 searches per month. Mm-hmm. So if I had a flower store, I wouldn't probably bother.
Yeah.
But if you put that keyword into Google, if you pull the number one ranking page and put it to Ahrefs, to see what other keywords this same page is ranking for, you're going to find out that people search for kind of I'm sorry keywords in all sorts of ways.
Yeah.
Like, do roses say I'm sorry? Which keywords say I'm sorry? Which flowers say I'm sorry? Which are the best flowers for apology? And blah, blah, blah. There are literally hundreds of different
wow.
ways to ask Google, like, which flowers are used for apology. And I just used another keyword to ask Google how the flowers are used for apology. And you're going to discover that the page that ranks number one for a keyword that seemed unpopular is generating some nice traffic. And it's actually a super targeted traffic because clearly the person is willing to buy some flowers.
Yes.
So yeah, and what people don't understand, everyone is now going after the pages of like their competitors, like, and everyone is basically creating the same pages. But hey, try to put some keywords into Google and try to research the top pages that rank there. I'm telling you, when I was doing this for Ahrefs blog, I have discovered some keywords. And actually, one other important realization is the number one ranking page is not necessarily the page that gets the most search traffic.
Mm.
So some of the time, at some times, you're going to discover that a page ranking for a specific keyword at position number three mm-hmm. seems to generate more traffic because like it has it is targeting like a few more topics, and because of these topics, like it generates more of this like long tail search traffic, and therefore it would make sense to replicate what they do on that page rather mm-hmm. than what the guys do at the top ranking page. That's awesome. Very important, and I really don't see anyone else talking about this.
This is actually amazing. Yeah, again, common sense. You know, it's but no one's doing it. This is amazing. You know, listen, there was actually, you know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, and it kind of relates to what we're talking about now is, you know, like most of the tools. I don't know about you guys, about Ahrefs, but a lot of the tools when they report on keyword search volume, which is the traffic a keyword receives on a monthly basis, or the number of searches. Actually, sorry, it's not the traffic.
Yeah.
It's the number of searches, right? So, you know, they use the data from Google. And is Google sometimes wrong with their keyword data? Because I tell you what, there's been a number of times when, you know, I'd find a great keyword with, like, sometimes even traffic reported at 0 or at 10, like ridiculously low, right? But, like, for instance, the keyword that drives us the most inquiries and business is a keyword, if you go to Google, it will report 0 search volume for it.
And
yet we get like this page gets like, you know, not ridiculous amount of traffic, you know, but it gets good traffic, and it's a traffic that converts at least, you know, into inquiries or into leads, etc. So is how does that work? Is that because actually these people don't use that keyword but some variation of it, as you said, I'm sorry flowers, or, you know, best what flower says I'm sorry the best, whatever. So they use this, or is Google sometimes a bit off in terms of their data? So it means they don't really have the data. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the keyword is too new or too fresh and they haven't acquired relevant data. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there's. We could do an entire podcast about search volume in Google.
Fair enough.
Yeah, because there are a lot of problems to it. Well, first of all, if your page ranks for some keyword that is not popular and it still brings you some nice traffic, the best reason for that is probably these long tail keywords that we just discussed with mm-hmm. an example of I'm sorry flowers. And the best way to check it is actually to go to Google Search Console, mm-hmm. Because this is the data that comes like directly from Google. And there you can filter your search queries by page, by URL, mm-hmm. and see like which search queries Google report that this URL is ranking for. So this is one thing. And now onto the actual search volume. Mm-hmm. So the first important thing about search volume that it's an annual average.
Okay.
So basically they take 12 months of data. So if a keyword had like 100 searches 10 months straight and then 1,000 searches like for two more months, they will average it.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that actually.
Yeah. So a lot of people actually don't think about it. And the other thing that I didn't know myself till like about a year ago when guys from Moz started talking about it is, other than making annual average, the guys at Google, they're also rounding the search volume numbers.
Okay.
So other than calculating the average number like across the entire year, they will also like cut down the volume a bit to round it to some specific number. And rounding is not like straightforward. It's not like when you round 11 to 10 or like 17 to 20. They kind of round it to some random numbers.
Okay.
So, yeah. But the biggest nail in the search volume data that comes from Google is that when you try to compare data, for example, between Google Trends, because you can basically put two keywords and see what's the difference in search demand.
Yeah.
They don't give you like the search volume number, but just by looking at the graphs, you can like see what's the like average difference between search demand in these keywords. And when you put the same keywords into Google AdWords, into Google Keyword Planner, you can often see that the difference in search demand in these two tools, both of them belong to Google, is different.
Okay.
So Google is inconsistent even in their own tools. So actually, like, I don't know which data to trust. And this is why ourselves, Ahrefs and Moz, we are no longer relying on Google search volume that comes from AdWords alone. We have one other, like, third-party source of data, which is Clickstream. Okay. And we're basically pairing data that comes from Clickstream against the data that we have from Google AdWords. Mm-hmm. And we feel that we're doing a pretty great job with showing you the actual search volume, because we have a private Facebook group for our customers at Ahrefs. And one of them was saying that he tried keyword influencer definition in different keyword research tools, and all of them show like a search volume of over 10,000 searches per month. And only Ahrefs was showing that the search volume for influencer definition was like 600 or something, and he was asking me if there's something wrong about it or not. But actually, I went to Google Keyword Planner. I entered the influencer definition, and instead of giving me search volume for influencer with R at the end definition, Google Keyword Planner gave me the search volume for influence definition.
Wow, are you serious?
Yes, yes. So basically, Google Keyword Planner is grouping keywords like hell. So according to their tool, influencer definition and influence definition are the same word. So I encourage you to try. If you enter both of these words into the tool, it will only return you search volume for one of them.
Oh, wow.
And this is why all these other keyword research tools that scrape their data from Google, they have it wrong for all these keywords that are kind of grouped. And because we have data from Clickstream, and we can compare what we get from Clickstream to what we get from Google, we can actually ungroup these keywords back.
Awesome. Awesome. So yeah. that really brings us back to, you know, what you were saying about really not going after the metrics, like hardcore metrics, like traffic volume, etc., but actually going by, you know, this common sense approach. Let's take a page that's ranking really well for a specific problem or topic, and let's see, you know, what keywords this might be, you know, ranking for,
and so
almost like, as you said, reverse engineer it rather than try to find new keywords from scratch. So this is amazing. This is invaluable advice for anyone who's you know, looking for starting to improve their content SEO, especially keyword optimization. Listen, Tim, that's been fantastic. It's I have tons of notes myself, you know, from this episode. So I'm really grateful that you agreed to come on the show. Listen, before we go, we mentioned a couple of resources that we're gonna rank, that I'm gonna link to from the show notes. This Why Buyers Journey is Unicorns, and I didn't get the full title, but there was one article you mentioned. There's also your report, and there is keyword research guide. Is there anywhere else that our listeners could go and find more about keyword research, or you know, optimizing their content for keywords, phrases, topics that they could use, or just learn more about the process?
I think that we have distilled all the best information into these articles that we are going to add to show notes. Mm-hmm. So there is no point of like searching for anyone else, anything else, at least around ahrefs.com website.
Okay, super.
Maybe
super.
Someone else has something extra, but I think we have a lot in our guides. So I'm pretty sure that would be more than enough, especially if someone is just starting out. There's a ton to digest. And this is a good place to start.
Fantastic. Listen, thanks so much for coming on the show, for sharing all this advice. And it's been a great episode. It's been great talking to you. Thanks very much, Tim.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Bye.